The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon. Have any of y'all ever been sick? Who's been sick? Anybody been sick? Is it fun to be sick? No, it's not fun to be sick, is it? You hurt sometimes? You've been sick? Yeah, sometimes you hurt. Or you just don't feel like doing anything but going back to bed and sleeping maybe. You don't feel like getting out and running and playing. Did y'all hear the story just a few minutes ago about Jesus? Okay, Jesus was coming into a town, and there were 10 people. All right.
That he had to heal.
Yep, that he had to heal. They were sick. They had a disease known as leprosy. And what leprosy was a skin disease. So they had sores on their skin, on their body, or maybe their fingers or their toes or their nose or their ears. And they had sores on them. And unfortunately, in that day and time, when you got sick like that, there wasn't much of a cure for you. And also, people thought that when you got sick, you were being punished for doing something bad. That was a punishment. If you got sick, that you were being punished. And so other people saw sick people a lot of times as being bad people. Okay? So if they're bad people and they're sick and other people don't want to get sick, one of the rules that they had, one of the laws that they had was that if you were sick, if you had leprosy, you had to carry a little bell with you. And anytime you were around people, you had to ring that bell. You had to ring the bell so that other people know that you were a sick person and that you were coming close so that they could get out of the way. All right, so that they would leave, so that they wouldn't, because they were afraid of you. If you're sick, they're afraid. They don't want to get sick. And so it was pretty sad because the sick people then couldn't be with their families. They couldn't be with their friends. They couldn't go to church. They couldn't go to a store because they could not be around people. And if they were around people, they had to ring the bell and holler out, "I'm sick. I'm a leper. Stay away." And people were angry sometimes. Sometimes they'd even throw dirt clods or rocks or sticks at them because they didn't want them around. And so Jesus comes walking into this town, and who do you think he sees? He sees these 10 lepers, these 10 people who are sick. But did Jesus, you think Jesus threw rocks at them? No, did he throw sticks at them? No. Instead, what he did is he had compassion on them. He felt sorry for him. He didn't want to see sick people. He wants people to be well. He wants them to be alive. He wants them to be good. He wants them to be a part of everybody else, to be a part of the community. And so what Jesus does is he heals them. And they were so happy. And they started going away. They started going to the priest so the priest could say, "Yes, you are clean. You are healed. You are well. You can go back around people. You don't have to ring the bell anymore and holler out, stay away from me. I'm a leper." And so they went running off to the priest so the priest could say that you are made well. Except one. When he went away, He looked at his skin. He didn't have sores on his fingers or on his toes or on his ears or his nose or his head or his face. He was made well, and he was so happy that he came back to Jesus. And he said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't know what this means to me, that I'm made well once again and I can be around my friends. I can be around my family. I can go to the store." He had a new life once again. And so he gives thanks to Jesus. And so that's why we come to church too, isn't it? We come to church and we pray to Jesus. We sing songs of praise and we give him thanks. Let's pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that when we're sick, you make us well. We give you thanks that when we're healthy, you keep us healthy. We give you thanks for all of our friends, for our families, and for everything that you give to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, Uncle Sid.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A young man grew up and left his hometown and went to the city and found a job. And he got a job at the zoo. And his particular job at the zoo involved a lot of traveling because he was the one who transported animals from place to place. And so a lot of times, though, when he was traveling, it would take him back through his hometown, and he would stop maybe for a meal or just to visit for a short time. And he would have these animals with him, and his family got accustomed to all these animals that he may have with him. So one day he was traveling as he normally did, and he stopped by the house, and he had an alligator with him. And family wasn't all that concerned about it, and so they decided to go out for lunch. And so they deposited the alligator in the bathtub and got him all settled in, and they went out to lunch. But what they forgot and what they should have remembered was this was the day that the cleaning lady came in. When they came back home after lunch, they found a note that said, "I'm sorry your house is not clean, but I quit. I will not clean house for a family that keeps an alligator in the bathtub. I'm sorry I didn't mention this in my job interview, but the subject never came up." Today in our gospel lesson, we hear that story where Jesus heals 10 lepers. One of them comes back and gives thanks and praise. But what about the other 9? I guess that subject of thankfulness just never came up for them. It's always interesting in these stories a lot of times, either in these stories of Jesus or the parables that he tells, of the things that he does not say or the things that are left out within these. One of these things that this story does not tell us is it doesn't tell us that because the other 9 didn't come back and give thanks, that all of a sudden they were sick again. They still were clean. They were still healed. It didn't matter if they came back and gave thanks or not. The one who came back was still healed. The ones who didn't come back were still healed. If you look around in our society today, the Christians and non-Christians fare about the same. We all have cars. We have homes, we have food to eat, we have families. You really can't tell the difference in that a lot of times. And so people start to think, so what difference does it make if I worship God? What difference does it make if I come back and I give thanks to God? It doesn't give me a better house. It doesn't give me a better car. It doesn't give me a more loving spouse. It doesn't give me more obedient children. It doesn't give me more property or more wealth. So why bother? Why bother coming to worship? Why bother coming? Jesus asked the question, where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? When we come to worship, We don't come to worship to gain things like a better family, or to gain a better house or a better car or more riches or more wealth. We come to worship in order because we have already received those things. We have the things. God gives us all of these blessings that we have in all of our lives. We receive blessings from God already. But we return to God to give Him thanks, to give Him praise, to worship God. And as we come into worship, though, there is a difference. Because we receive more blessings. We hear those words of forgiveness. We hear those words given and shed for you. We hear those words that you have been washed by the waters of baptism. We hear those words that Christ died for us. We hear those words that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. We hear those words of forgiveness. We hear those words of love. And we give our thanks. We give our praise. We return to God, our hearts and our minds and our souls. Where are the other nine? In that day and time, as I mentioned earlier, leprosy was a disease of the skin. It included the leprosy that we know of today, but it could have included any kind of skin disease as well then too. And so if somebody was suspected of leprosy, they were taken to the priest. The priest would examine that person and would declare them unclean. That this sickness, this disease then, was considered a punishment from God. And so they were unworthy to be a part of the community, which meant then that they could not go into worship. They could not be at the marketplace. And as I mentioned earlier, anytime they were around people, they had to ring the bell and announce that they were there. So they were not only sick, they also lost their community. So when Jesus healed them, when he made them whole once again, they not only became well, but they were also able to rejoin the community, to rejoin that worship, to be a part of everybody else. Now the ceremony originally for them to be made clean again was a beautiful ceremony. And what would happen then is if the person was healed, they would once again go back to the priest. The priest would examine them, and then they would go through the ceremony of cleansing, the ceremony of sacrifice and cleansing. And it was a service that was set up, a ceremony that was set up to give praise and thanks to God who had healed them, but also to give thanks and praise that this person once again has been able to join back into the community. They are welcomed back into the group. It was a ceremony giving thanks to a holy God and giving thanks for a holy community. By this time of Jesus, though, the direction of this ceremony changed. It wasn't so much about a holy God and holy community. It changed to the focus of doing the precise rituals. And so these rituals that people had to go through were rigorous. And it took 8 days to get through all of them. And it involved things like two live birds, a lamb, a year-old ewe, a branch of hyssop, the blood of a lamb, the blood of birds, a measure of wheat, a measure of oil, and other things. And then there was a ceremony that went along with it, precise rituals of maybe spreading some of the blood and oil on the forehead or the nose or the ears or different parts of the body. Jesus asked the question, where are the other nine? It was a rhetorical question. He knew where they were going. They were running to the priest so that they could be declared clean, so that they could be joined once again into this community. They were caught up in the rituals. They were tied to that. They were bound by those rituals. All except for the one. He found the freedom in being made whole and being made well. And he came back and gave worship to Jesus. We look at our own congregation and we have honor rolls, or we can come up with names for about 1,100 people in this congregation. But on any given weekend between Saturday and Sunday, we have close to maybe 200 people here in worship. And we can ask the other question then, where are the other 900? And again, that's a rhetorical question. But I think the same answer is there. They're tied up in their ritual ceremonies. They're tied up in those rituals of weekend worship. And that's not coming to church. The rituals of the weekend are to sleep in late, or to catch up on the odd jobs, or to go shopping, to do those things that you weren't able to do during the week, or maybe just to relax, to do nothing, or to watch sports, or to participate in sports, or to do something else. Maybe go party, maybe nurse a hangover. We go through those other rituals during the weekend. They're tied to the rituals rather than coming to worship, where we actually hear words of freedom, words of release. Your sins are set free. They're gone. You are released from your guilt. You are released from your shame. You have been forgiven. You are given a new life. You are washed in the waters of baptism. We hear those words, given and shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this for the forgiveness of sins. We hear those words of release. We hear those words of freedom as we come to worship. And we come to give our good Lord thanks. We come to give him praise. We come to share with one another then too. To cry for one another, to be happy with one another, to laugh with one another, to share in all those joys and sorrows. We come together as a holy community because God has blessed us, because Jesus Christ has made us holy. And so we give thanks to our God, to our holy God, in our holy community. Amen. May the peace of God, which gives thanks and praise for all of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.